Welcome to Australian Women Preach, a podcast that aims to raise women's voices in preaching the gospel. Our intention is to model the church we want to be, inclusive, diverse, and welcoming. Brought to you by WATAC, Women and the Australian Church, and The Grail in Australia. Dr. Moira Berngarten is a native South Australian who now calls Canberra home. She works as a federal public servant and is married with four adult children. In 2012, Moira completed a PhD in political science, examining religious organisations as interest groups in refugee policy. As part of the Young Catholic Women's Interfaith Fellowship, she completed a postgraduate diploma of theology in 2016. Moira enjoys exploring the histories and practices of her spiritual heritage.
I grew up on Narkat land, lived for over a decade on Kaurna land, and now call Ngunnawal country my home. I'm honoured to live on the home to the oldest living culture, and I pay my respects to the traditional custodians of country across Australia and elders past and present. Today I'm reflecting on Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 to 28, the faith of a Canaanite woman. I'll talk about some elements of Jesus' behaviour in the scripture that for me seem problematic, and then I'll turn to some current reflections, the humanity of Jesus, his insensitive language, what I learn in this scripture, and who I learn it from. A dear friend recently told me that this passage was one of his least favourite in the gospel. I can see why. To be frank, Jesus appears tired, apathetic, and perhaps even prejudiced. Jesus' lack of response to the Canaanite woman, Jesus did not answer a word, could most charitably be interpreted as exhaustion, if not frustration. And the most generous interpretation for the disciples is that they are trying to help meet Jesus' potential emotional need for some psychological space, because they are not looking like a very inclusive or loving bunch. In fact, they appear judgmental, discriminatory, and exclusionary toward the woman. They entreat Jesus to send away a woman who is literally crying out to Jesus for help. Jesus is dismissive and appears indifferent as he states that he cannot help her. I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. Jesus even appears a bit racist. His words to the woman are derogatory as he compares her to a dog. At that time, dogs were like farm dogs are now. They were important in helping shepherds, but they were hardly considered part of the family. The Biblical Archaeology Society notes that to be called a dog was to be associated with evil and low status. Growing up, I heard this scripture interpreted as Jesus' generosity to outsiders, and I accepted that interpretation uncritically. Now, with a lot more life experience and some theological training, I'm struck by three things. The first thing that struck me are those dodgy behaviours of Jesus. As a middle-aged woman who has had her share of being ignored, underestimated, and discriminated against, often by overconfident, assertive, or aggressive men, that behaviour jumps out at me. These are hardly the words or actions of someone who is the embodiment of love and justice. But truth told, this doesn't affect my faith in Jesus too much. Rather, this illustration emphasises to me that Jesus really was fully human. I dare say we have probably all set boundaries, judged others, and failed to include them at times, especially if we've had a bad day or when we are feeling overwhelmed. On a related note, Jesus is also fully human in that he got things wrong at times. In the social media era, powerful people are often called to account for insensitive remarks and actions, as well as disgraceful behaviour. Too often, the response is to double down with insincere so-called apologies that say, if they offended someone, they are sorry for the person that feels offence. They are often not self-reflective about any offensive language they may have used or offensive actions they may have taken. They are not usually explaining their misunderstanding, clarifying their intentions, apologising, learning from their mistake and making amends. Yet in contrast to the many aggressive and overconfident people we may see in the public arena or even experience in our own lives, Jesus is able to admit error, be corrected by another and make amends. It's even more astounding that he was willingly corrected by a woman who was also an outsider. Second, the brutal language used is quite striking to me. If you haven't had a loved one with a mental illness, disease, disability or epilepsy, you might not have thought too much about the language that someone is described as demon-possessed and suffering terribly. And I am reminded again of prayer and how it is answered or not answered, and how we can make sense of conflicting ideas and interpretations and the movement of the Spirit of God. As an aside, I have my own interpretations around unanswered prayer. Listen to episode 72 if you'd like to hear more, including my experience as the parent of a beloved daughter with a significant disability. But when reading scripture, I often need to remind myself that both those featured and the writers all existed before scientific methods became widespread. The pre-scientific mind looked for cause and effect and linked them. The pre-scientific mind attributed misfortune to evil and sin and fortune to goodness and innocence. But we know all too well, especially in the 21st century, that success and wealth can be the result of exploitation and abuses of power. And we see that the so-called prosperity gospel is a lie. Material things and health are not evidence of God's blessing, and a lack of money or health is not evidence of individual sin. Blessed are the poor. Bad things happen to good people, and luck sometimes favours those who don't deserve it, people who are cruel and intentionally heartless. A view of God's work in the world through the lens of cause and effect has no doubt made its way into the way scripture is selectively composed too. After all, we don't know the full story of the woman or exactly what might have happened. We can only speculate, though now we have at hand knowledge and insights that are informed by science and social scientific understandings. So third, my conclusion is that perhaps the hero of the story is the woman. Not because she corrected Jesus, though I applaud her courage and for stepping into vulnerability and standing her ground. Despite the fact that Jesus' behaviour could be interpreted as belligerent, he ignored her, declined to see her as she was an outsider, and then offensively compared her to a dog, she perseveres. In the face of an assertive Jesus, who drew boundaries and who appeared to think he was right, she gently persisted. She cried out for Jesus. He snubbed her. So she humbly presented herself before him and asked for help. He provided his view and insulted her in the process. And she employed this insult to gently correct him. And to Jesus' credit, he accepted that correction. He was open to questioning his own prejudices and didn't stick to his initial judgment. For me, this is inspirational and not typical. In an age of internet disputes, disrespect, personal offences and fake apologies, I need to ask myself, how do I respond to my own errors and mistakes? Can I approach those of differing viewpoints with the same humility, patience and persistence as this woman? And do I show the same willingness to be open and change my mind as Jesus does?
You have been listening to Australian Women Preach, brought to you by WATAC, Women and the Australian Church, and The Grail in Australia. You can find out more about WATAC at watac.net.au and The Grail at grailaustralia.org.au. The music in this podcast is from the song Truth, from the album Into Silence, by songwriter, musician, theologian and teacher Danielle Ann Lynch. You can hear the full version on Spotify.